Podtacular, episode 142, Halo 3 versus Call of Duty 4 SmackDown, for the week of January 5th, 2007.
This is part 1 of 2 of a special edition of Podtacular. Part 2 is coming later this week.
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me.
Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jai.
I'm Dial Beck.
I'm Kevin Brown.
And I'm Camille Guy 579.
Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Welcome to the SmackDown event. In this corner, we have Dial Peck. What's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much, not much. Tell everybody what you do at Podtacular, for those that don't know.
I am the community director at Podtacular. I pretty much help out with everything related to the site, the clans, the try to keep the flow going with the people, and try to oversee the IRC sometimes too. So just pretty much like anything that, you know, regards to like relations of the people and you know, the events that happen and some of the bigger events that happen at Podtacular. So I try to coordinate with, you know, the members and everything. And at the same time, you know, giving support to you, Fumo Jive, and Captain Crunk. And so that's pretty much what I do there. Try to, you know, keep everything in order when I can.
Right on. Well, good deal. Welcome, man. Welcome to the SmackDown. Definitely, I know you got some time on both Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4. On to Captain Crunk, welcome,
yes,
dude. Glad to have you on the show part, not just the voicemails now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's always fun to do that, but it's good to be here, too.
Right on. So tell them what else you do at Podtacular.
I basically run the site and kind of keep things working there. And, you know, I get in there and mix it up with everybody every once in a while. Lately, I've been kind of absent, but, you know, the holidays and stuff, so...
Yeah, we all
I tend to kind of get in there and joke around with people and, you know, make it a good place.
Sweet.
That's me.
Cool. You're welcome. Well, I know you've been playing plenty of Call of Duty 4, so... We'll definitely have the 2 cents in on it, so... And we have Camaro Guy. Welcome, man. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do in the gaming community.
Yeah, I'm with the Gamers Garage podcast and thegamersgarage.com, and pretty much every week we come out with a show just like you guys, and what we do is we talk about all the gaming news and stuff going on in the industry, but we also like to talk about a lot of stuff going on in the gaming and podcasting community as well. So you'll hear us, you know, throw promos out on our show and just help support other podcasts and websites all the time. So we talk about all the consoles and I mainly talk about 360 because that's all I have. I don't really care about, but yeah.
That's cool, man.
Cool deal.
Well, JV was telling me you're a big Call of Duty 4 fan, and you've played plenty of both, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I played a lot of Halo 3 whenever it first came out, and then I just started playing other stuff, and I still want to get back into Halo. I just haven't got back into it lately.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see how the match goes down here. Let's start off with getting into some talk about, we're comparing Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4 this show, and let's start off with some single player comparisons. Who wants to tell us a little bit about what they think about the story of, I don't know, Call of Duty 4 to start off with?
I'll start things off, I guess. Call of Duty 4. Hands down, is probably one of the best games I've played as far as like story goes. Mm-hmm. It is the kind of game that like kept me, you know, on the edge of my couch going like, oh my God, like what's going to happen next? You know, like every mission was like a different mission where sometimes you had to go in and just like blast people off. And then on the next one, you were like a sniper. So you gotta keep your cover. And then, you know, you have that, the helicopter or airplane, mission where, you know, shoot from the top, and then, like, you gotta take out, you know, the guys at the bottom and stuff like that. So I think it was, like, a very diverse, you know, game with a good story, good solid story.
Mm-hmm.
When, Halo 3 was, you know, Halo 3 was good. But I think, like, if you didn't play Halo 2, well, Halo 1 and Halo 2, it was kind of like, you know, you couldn't really just jump into Halo 3 and know what's going on. When, Call of Duty 4, I know it was a completely different game from 1, 2, and 3. So I think they did a really good job putting, you know, that game together as far as story mode goes.
Yeah.
So I think it was a really good, solid story. I mean, hands down, if you're talking about, like, one game, I think, you know, Call of Duty 4 versus Halo 3, and Call of Duty 4 did a much better job as far as story mode goes, keeping you, you know, on the game and, you know, ready for the next, you know, bit of information or whatever it's going to happen. So
yeah, it's not as in depth as the Halo story is, because every game there's a different, you know, thing that you have to follow down the path of. But in Call of Duty, they really did a good job of not just throwing you in with, like, 100 different AI soldiers. They
right.
put you in with, like, 3-4 other guys, and you actually cared about these guys in the story, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
for the most part,
you
yeah.
cared if they died, if they got shot, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really immersed you very quickly into what this world is of Call of Duty 4.
Right.
You know, it seemed to me
yeah.
that in Halo 3, the Marines didn't even care if they got shot. You know, they were just
yeah.
they were just
oh,
cracking
yeah.
jokes the whole time, you know? And
yeah.
You don't care. You just rush in, and you're taking care of your own. You know, the Marines get shot, whatever. You
yeah.
know?
A lot of times, like,
yeah.
people just shoot the Marines in Halo 3 just for fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, one thing that I like it about Call of Duty, the whole series, and I don't like it, is that you switch from character to character.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know, like, a lot of people have that problem with Halo 2.
Yeah.
And switch from Master Chief to Arbiter. And I kind of feel like it takes me out of the story a little bit in Call of Duty
yeah.
4. Like, I'm like, oh, whoa, wait a minute, who am I playing as now? I got to
yeah.
remember for a second. And, you know, whereas with Halo, like you guys are saying, it is a deeper story, and you know who you are, and you know what the ultimate objective is. This one, I was like, well, I'm supposed to do different missions for different things, so I'm not really clear on where I'm going overall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did like what they did, though. They intertwined the story in Call of Duty to where you're the British, and then all of a sudden you're the American, and then at one point you're joined together fighting for the same cause.
Yeah.
I liked how they twisted that up.
That was interesting, definitely. I mean,
yeah.
there were a few parts in Call of Duty, like, where you ran across this area where is a lot of Marines all over the place, and you don't know any of them, and you're just kind of, like, rushing up in a certain area, and it just seems like there's a bunch of, you know, robots around you and stuff. But there were,
yeah.
I know there were definitely, I think more so than Call of Duty 3, which I had just played right before Call of Duty 4, there's a more to care about, you know. There's I think a lot
yeah.
of that has to do with the way the voice acting was, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that and just the way things are presented, you know, it's like you can feel the stakes that are involved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the events that happen in Call of Duty 4, it's just like mind blowing. Some of the stuff that ends up taking place, you know, right before your eyes.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And you're experiencing it as just any, you know, a regular soldier almost, not as the super soldier, you know, who's leading the charge.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's a different perspective, and that's what I like about the game, though, is that you get it from the ground level, you know?
Right, right.
It was amazing, like, in the Call of Duty story was you go around, you shoot all these guys, you know, big deal, and then whenever you get to that sniper mission, was it Gilly in the Mist or All Gillied Up? I forget which one it was called.
Mm-hmm.
But then whenever you actually shot the enemies, you were like, you were feeling like, dang, like, I actually kind of care whenever I shoot these guys, like, because I guess it's so few and far between at the beginning of the mission that whenever you actually kill somebody, that it's actually, you get a different feeling of, I myself was thinking, like, man, people in real life actually have to do this kind of stuff, and, like, they actually just kill people like that, but then, like, three missions before, I was, like, throwing grenades and killing, like, five guys at once and didn't care. So
right.
I think the more you get in, right, the more you tend to care for the
yeah.
different characters.
Yeah, it
right.
really gets you in. And like Fumo said, I think that the voice acting was a huge part in that game because they it just keeps you going. Like, you know, the interaction with you, it's like from beginning to end. I mean, from the ship, you know, level all the way to the end, it's like, you know, the guys are talking to you, they involve you in a story. And I'm not saying that they don't do that on Halo, and they do that, but on Call of Duty, it's more on a personal level, you know what I mean? It's like you're right there. It makes you feel like, you know, you're a real soldier, and it's, you know, everything is happening right before your eyes. Where on Halo, it's like you get that, like, universe, you know, feeling it, like stuff is going on somewhere else while you're there and so on and so forth. I don't know. I think that Call of Duty 4 is more of a, you know what I mean? It gives you, like, a better feeling of what's going on at that given time.
I think a good way to compare that, and it comes in as kind of like storytelling and voice acting, is the first level on both those games. On the first level on Halo, you have, you have pretty much the Master Chief and, you know, Sarge, and everybody else is just filler, you know? But the Sarge is all like, you know, crazy fool, you know, you fall again and you're going to break something, you know? And he's like, where is she, Chief? Where's Cortana? And then you got that. Yeah, exactly. You know, you got him and his kind of kitschy, over the top, you know, voice acting. And, you know, at this end, in Call of Duty, you're dropping in and everybody's like professional. And it's like, that's what you would think a Warzone would be like when you have to rely on the skills you've been taught, and you don't deviate from that unless you want to die. You know,
right.
And it's funny because that's a big comparison between Call of Duty 4 and Call of Duty 3 too, because Call of Duty 3, everybody was just all over the place and just blah blah blah, not even taking anything seriously, and like,
it was like they just handed out guns and grenades off the corner of the street.
It totally seemed like that. Not even that, it's just like, you know, they went to the ghetto and just a bunch of guys that just wanted to shoot stuff and just didn't even care about anything, you know. So
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, you guys take these, have fun.
Basically, yeah, because whenever that first level of Call of Duty, whenever you first walk in and then there's the group of the Special Forces team, you can, like, tell right there, this is like a professional group of guys who are going to do a mission, and they know already where to go on that level or wherever they're going. So definitely could see a professionalism in them.
Exactly. And it gets you know, it gets you into the tension, and it gets you into the seriousness of the whole, you know, the whole matter.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, it's so, you know, it's so tense and it's so serious that it gets you, like, involved with that story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden you care about, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, you know, and the time you're supposed to be. And it's all part of the fun. It's all part of what makes Call of Duty 4 such a great story game.
And the thing that I liked a lot too is they added in the AI was increased for your, at least your teammates. Like, they actually killed people in this one. They actually, they'll actually break in a room and clear it out themselves and stuff. And, like, sometimes I'll be shooting at a guy, and then all of a sudden one of them will shoot him. I'm like, hey, dude, I was killing that guy, you know? Like, you would do online, but.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the difference is that, you know, Halo, at its core, it's a science fiction or fantasy-based game. And so they don't have to stick to that kind of realistic approach. But with Call of Duty, when you have it, like, almost directly in comparison, you can see that sometimes when you go more realistic with your storytelling and your, you know, the way things play out, the player can relate to it easier, you know. It seems more like this is real, you know.
Right.
Yes.
Whereas if you've got a big alien talking to you, you know, talking about the universe is going to explode, it doesn't always come across, you know.
I mean, then that's why it's not fair to compare the two based on realism, because Halo is not going on based on realism. But the thing is that the storytelling is, it still could have been more realistic, like believable, like, you know, not suspending disbelief. I think one of the things is that, you know, there's more parts on Earth than the entire track that the space elevator fell on. You know, it's a whole planet, you know. Another thing is, like, there's more characters on Earth besides, you know, the captain's daughter, Miranda Keys, and, you know, and Lord Hood, and the, like, five characters that are in the whole game. It's like, this is supposed to be a whole universe, you know.
Right.
They could have expanded a little more on the characters, even if they didn't fill out every single character.
They could have had civilians running around and stuff like that, at least.
Well, I mean, they, like, did to an extent, and it's cool. It's just they didn't even give you any inkling of what those people were about. They were just random people that had random things to say, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think to some extent, Call of Duty 4 did better at that, in that they had a little more, you know, a little more characters and a little more, and the characters that they did have, they definitely fleshed them out more, I felt. So.
Right.
So what did you guys think of the graphics in comparison to the two?
Graphics, I'm going to give it a Halo 3. I mean, I like how realistic Call of Duty 4 is. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, face and, you know, and voice acting and everything. But when it comes to, like, level, like, the graphics, what it looks like, you know, on certain levels, Halo 3 is just beautiful. I mean, you take places like, you know, Savo Highway and you know, even, like, Sierra 117, you just look at that level and you go, like, holy crap. I mean, this thing is beautiful. I mean, like, the leaves and the trees and water, everything else is so perfect, you know. I mean, that's what I think. I think that graphic-wise, they put a lot more work on Halo 3 than they did, you know, with Call of Duty 4.
And the Cortana level, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Amazing.
Level up.
Goo and bioorganic matter. Oh. Beautiful.
Yeah, you're going to...
He does it like Bungie.
The intestine level. You're going inside the intestines and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the thing, I guess, that goes to Halo's credit, is that it does show you, I mean, in the best way possible, things that you would never see, you know, because it's all fictional in every sense. I mean, even the Earth settings, they don't exist. They probably won't exist for years. Mm-hmm. So, and whereas Call of Duty, I mean, you're dealing with places that probably do exist, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, they could go take pictures of something down the street and just work off of that. Whereas in Halo, they had to completely manufacture something out of their own head and be a lot more creative out of it. I mean, me personally, I like the graphics in Call of Duty better, just because I like I don't know. I guess stuff felt like I wanted to touch it myself. It looked a little bit. I guess because I've always liked the Call of Duty 2 graphics, and this one is just the same except far expanded.
Yeah.
But definitely Halo has some very, very creative things in that game as far as level design and graphics.
I feel the same way. I generally tend to prefer the Call of Duty 4 graphics, but, I mean, this is one where I think it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges. You know, you're comparing realism to surrealism, and, you know, those don't really compare directly. But at the same time, there is a potentially realistic factor in Halo 3, even though it's you know, set in a place that doesn't exist. And couldn't, you know, exist at this time. It's like, there's still things that kind of take you out of the realism sometimes, like the excessive bloom and the excessive lighting and, you know, certain, like, the shininess of things and stuff like that sometimes is a little, put offish. But I mean, but altogether, it's a vast improvement over Halo 2. It still looks really amazing and very detailed, and it still looks really great, so.
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of like comparing Black Hawk Down to Star Wars. You know, it's like
exactly
two different kinds of.
I love, like, sometimes when I'm in the theater, sometimes I just spend time looking at the armor, like how perfect and, you know, like every aspect of the Master Chief's armor is, and like, you know, the dents and everything, the scratches, and I just think it's like it's an awesome. They did an awesome job graphic wise, I think.
Yeah. A lot of detail.
That's one thing, yeah, that I got to give to Halo, is that you really do feel like you're in giant environments. Whereas with Call of Duty, you're mostly in urban environments or maybe, you know, something underground or even at night. You know, you can't see so far, so it does feel a little more claustrophobic. I mean, it still looks great, but with Halo 3, I mean, you can see objects like for miles, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And you see that there's like something going on back there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's,
yeah. They didn't have as much opportunity for that in Call of Duty. It's like up on a hill and you can see far, far away, like sort of like you can in Assassin's Creed, I guess I'd say. Because Halo had a lot of big levels where you can see fighting going on in the distance.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, to an extent, you know, like that part. I think it's on the second level when you're at night and you're sniping from the from that hilltop down into that town where you're with that Russian guy. I mean, there was some distance, but not nearly to the extent that Halo 3 was, but I think that's part of what's cool about Halo 3 is just this sense of scale, you know, that, and that's what was the big thing about Halo. You know, you have this massive ring that's like the size of a moon. That's basically, you know, it's a space station. You know, it's a weapon that's, you know, that's that big. And just that sense of awe and scale is part of what makes Halo Halo. So
right.
So what about the sound? I mean, in comparison to the two, we talked about voice acting. What about the rest of the sound? What'd you guys think?
Oh, I'd have to give it a Call of Duty myself.
I guess we're talking about soundtrack. We're talking about effects.
Right. The sound, like the orchestral music that plays while you're playing Call of Duty, I think is, they put in perfectly. It's like you don't even notice it, but if it was gone, you would definitely notice it's gone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just things like grenades exploding and bullets hitting the side of you and the sound of your gun, like even when you have a suppressor on it, mm-hmm. Everything feels like... I'm using 5.1 Dolby headset, gaming headset, mm-hmm. And it has rumble and stuff, and I can just feel stuff. Like I feel like I'm actually there if it wasn't, you know, sitting in front of a television. But
I think that when it comes to sound, I think they both did a really good job. I don't want to say it's like a, you know, to me it's like a tie. I mean I've heard the Halo 3 soundtrack and. That thing is just amazing. I don't know, you know, if you guys have a chance to listen to that, but it's just like out of this world. And, I mean, I guess I appreciate it more being a musician, you know, for such a long time. And when I listen to that, I'm just like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the, you know, the weapon sound and everything, one thing that, you know, I love on Halo 3 is that you're walking across the map, and then all of a sudden you hear this like this muffled sniper shot. Sound where you know that somebody like all the way across the map fired a sniper shot, and you can hear like you would if you were there. Okay. You know, you hear that echoed, muffled, you know, sniper shot thing, and same thing with the battle rifle. You hear that in the distance, yep. And it just sounds so good. It's like you know exactly what's going on because you know the sound of the weapons and everything.
Yeah.
When on Call of Duty, they did do a good job, but they didn't go that extra mile of like, you know. You don't hear that sniper shot. All you hear is like that same shooting, just on a lower, you know, sound, I guess, on a lower volume.
Yeah.
Where on Halo 3, they went the extra mile and they made sure it sounds different, like it's supposed to sound. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, like on Call of Duty, you know, the voice acting is amazing, and how the, you know, how everybody reacts, and you know, like
all the chatter.
Yeah, all the chatter, like go, and you know, we got this, or you know, tango down, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know,
really.
It's a good game. I mean, it's a good you know, sound wise and everything. But I don't know. I think that the depth that Halo 3 went, you know, with that is just, I don't know. It's beyond like any games I've played. One game that has, you know, come close to me is definitely Mass Effect, which has an amazing sound. I mean, when I play Mass Effect on my TV, I just like shut the lights off and, you know, blast the volume up, and it's just like, man, I feel like I'm playing at the theater. It's just like that good of a game. It just makes up for it. But anyways, it's, you know, it's good sound when, you know, when it comes to that. So I think that Halo 3, you know, when it, you know, to differentiate itself from other games, went the extra mile, you know, on the details, which is like, you know, weapon sound and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, the chat and everything, we kind of knew because it's kind of a tradition now on the Halo, you know, voice acting. It's like on Halo 1, you know, the grunts, like say the little things that they have to say in the Marines, and on Halo 2, we expected the same, and on Halo 3 was the same thing. They all have their little, you know, funny sayings and all that. So it wasn't anything, you know, revolutionary. But when it came to like the environment sound and everything, I think that Halo 3 did much, you know, much better job than, you know, the other games, than actually Call of Duty 4 did. So
yeah, I'm a big Marty O'Donnell fan, and I got that Halo soundtrack coming in actually sometime soon. But yeah, they both definitely have a different take on it. The first thing I noticed whenever I was playing the Halo beta, the Halo 3 beta, was the sound of on Valhalla, the sound of the sniper rifle at a long
right.
distance.
I right.
love that.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Tell, oh, where's the sniper? Is he on my team? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
Yeah, I do. It's, you can hear like from, you know, from across the map if you're paying attention, if your volume is high enough. So you can, you know, somebody's sniping, you know, and then you talk to your team. Do we have sniper or whatever? No, we don't. Yes, we do. So it's a nice touch that they added there. Definitely a cool thing.
That's where the difference is in Call of Duty whenever a sniper is firing, you can hear the sniper, like, you can hear that 50 cal sniper being fired on Call of Duty 4.
Right.
And there's like four or five different sniper rifles, and you can just kind of, after you play for a while, you can tell who's using what, and you can even pinpoint where they are sometimes.
Right, right.
That's when you go silent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's missing a silent sniper. It needs that.
Yeah.
But
I kind of have to, I don't know, I'm kind of on both sides here, because I really like both games, and as far as the sound, and I definitely got to give a plus to Halo for the soundtrack. It's always been quality, and I know Call of Duty kind of works its music in, you know, in more subtle ways, but it doesn't seem to have any impact necessarily, like when you get to maybe the end of a level or, you know, a key moment. Now, there are some moments in the game where, yeah, music really flares up and you really feel like something big is happening. But I didn't remember hearing any particular themes or, you know, things that you can identify with Call of Duty. Like with Halo, when you hear that Halo theme, you know what game it's from.
Right.
So I got to give it a plus for that. On the other side, Call of Duty, the sound of authentic, like, weapons fire and, you know, explosions and environment sounds, that's always something I look forward to. I mean, whether it's Call of Duty or, like, Rainbow Six or...
Right, right.
When you hear those weapons fire the way they're supposed to sound, then it tells me that someone's put a lot of work and research and, you know, to make those things sound right.
So. Right,
well,
right.
Sound has been taken for granted a lot, too. It's because, like, whenever you play a game, you know, I try to more than I haven't been before, but you try to listen for, you know, the sounds that's all around you and the music playing whenever a high intense sequence of events is going to happen and stuff like that. And obviously Halo's had a lot more publicity on their sound for, you know, since it's such a huge game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people take it into perspective a lot more.
Mm-hmm. They just know how to make it, like, very epic, you know what I mean? It's like when something big is about to happen, they know how to set the, you know, the environment very well or, you know, the next action very well just by playing the right music or making, you know, the environment sound just like it's supposed to, so.
Yeah, I think both teams did a good job in that.
Yep, yep.
No doubt. Yeah, it seems kind of like apples and oranges on this one to me, too, where you have Call of Duty is much more atmospheric. It doesn't really stand out, per se, but, you know, in that case, it's kind of good because it blends in with the whole thing, but it appropriately brings up the tempo and the pace when it needs to, you know, and sometimes it just makes it more, you know, moody and, you know, and quiet kind of thing.
Right.
While Halo makes it more theatric with the sound, it brings out the, you know, the big battle moments with, you know, some really, you know, punchy and memorable tunes. Well, you know, so it's a whole different deal. But and I think the voice acting is the big difference between the two, you know, in my opinion, where, you know, there's parts in Halo I really expect a lot more, honestly, and I was kind of disappointed with the voice acting, like with Miranda Keys, with the, you know, sometimes with Johnson, just, I think it was with the lines, but also with the delivery of it. I don't know. But for me, Call of Duty 4 never really had a moment like that. It, pretty much everything throughout, even the, like, for instance, when they got to Al-Assad and the guy put there with the TV station and the guy put the rap on the thing. Even that wasn't cheesy to me. I mean, they did a good, they could have made that cheesy very easily, you know, but they didn't.
Yeah, yep.
So. I don't know. I think the quality of the voice acting was much better in Call of Duty 4. I hate to say that. Yeah. I wish it wasn't like that because Halo 2 and Halo 1 set a really high standard, but I felt like they really dropped the ball on that in Halo 3.
Yeah. For me, a big thing is whenever their mouth moves with the words, and it bugs me when it doesn't do that. I can't stand that.
Yeah. It makes sense.
I know this is a little bit out of topic, but I think that Rock Band does an awesome job with that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That does do a good job. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. It just, you know, really seems like they're singing that song. But anyways.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so Rock Band wins there. All right, so what about moving on to something else? We got in Call of Duty, we have arcade mode. In Halo 3, we have campaign scoring. What are some of the differences, and what do you like better?
I never did arcade mode yet on Call of Duty.
Yeah, I played through the first level, and I mean, it seems pretty much like the regular single-player mode, except you get points for your kills.
Right.
So, I don't know. It didn't even seem really, like, worth the time.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how I felt. And I was like, I might as well just play campaign and,
you can't play
co-op,
right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, since you can't play co-op, it's just, you're not directly competing against each other at the same time. The only thing you can do is leaderboards.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because even with Halo 3, you had that where you could, you could play with other people and kind of make it fun, make it a competition, but
yeah.
If you're playing it by yourself, it's like, why not just play single player?
I think they should have added in some achievements to go along with the arcade mode, Call of Duty. A lot more people would have done it.
Right, to make a purpose for it, not just throw it out there and be like, okay, here's a different mode, it's called arcade mode, play if you want to. You get nothing for it.
Yeah. So campaign scoring wins on that one.
Definitely,
sounds
yeah.
like all around. Plus you have skulls. There's that difference between cheats and skulls. Have you guys tried any of the cheats yet? I mean, they're not cheats per se, but some of them are.
No, I've not.
Well, there's like stuff like changing the graphics. Like there's high contrast. There's noir mode that you unlock once you beat the campaign, which basically turns everything black and white. But if you turn any of the cheats on, then you can't get any achievements. So, which is kind of stupid, especially for the graphic cheats. It's not really a cheat. It's just a different way of looking at it, you know?
Okay, I didn't know that. I've beat it on veteran already, so I don't think I have. I've only got to collect intel or something like that, which I probably won't do anyway. But
well, you get the cheats by collecting. You get the cheats by collecting intel. So basically, it's similar to skulls.
Okay.
You know, except it's skulls make things harder. Cheats actually, some of them you have unlimited ammo is one of them. You know, so they make things easier. In some cases, towards the bottom. But, it's different deal. Some of them you can't even tell what they are until you unlock them, so.
Yeah.
I like skulls. I mean, it's fun. And you get to, play the game in a different perspective, too, so.
Yeah. It ties in better with the whole thing, huh? With campaign skulls.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But you really had to fight to get some of those skulls.
Yep.
Right.
It was tough getting those skulls. In Call of Duty, it's just a little laptop sitting on a desk or something.
Right, it's just a matter of really looking at the right room. You know
just
what I mean?
Clearing every room, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where on Halo 3, it's like you gotta find it. You know what I mean? Like you don't know where it is. You just really gotta go out of your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, Halo 3 has co-op, and Call of Duty 4 doesn't. So Halo 3 wins there.
Yeah, I was really surprised they did not throw that in. That would be so cool to play Call of Duty with imagine doing that. The sniper level in Call of Duty co-op.
Yeah, that would be,
really cool.
That would be nice, because I got stuck there for a long time.
Or even that AC-130 mission. You can have a buddy down the ground and just try not to blow him up or something,
Oh, yeah.
You could be up in the plane, and he could be down on the ground actually fighting.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That was a cool mission, though.
It was
a nice break from the normal... gameplay to go to that. Yeah, I didn't even know C-130s could do that, It's pretty...
Oh, yeah, dude. I've seen videos on YouTube. Crazy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so that pretty much finishes up single player for the most part. We talked about a lot of stuff there. Let's go into multiplayer and start comparing them both here. And I think this is a closer comparison in some cases.
Yeah.
So starting off, let's talk about some weapons, grenades, things like that, and compare the two here.
Well, I think one thing that Call of Duty has, and I mean anybody's played it knows, is that you can upgrade or modify your weapons,
mm-hmm.
And switch out and create special loadouts or classes, so that you can You can have a preset for whatever you want to do, depending on the mission or depending on the level or the objective or whatever. Whereas with Halo 3, you're stuck with the same set of weapons, and sometimes you're only stuck with whatever's on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think Call of Duty has a lot of flexibility with weapons and what you can do.
Yeah.
I love being able to upgrade weapons on Call of Duty. It's like, it makes me use the weapon that I normally wouldn't use just so I could upgrade it. And I wish that there was a way that you could put like a red dot sight and a silencer on certain things like that. But I know they did stuff like that for balancing issues, but I love upgrading the weapons.
You know, it's funny you mentioned balancing issues because that's the big thing that comes into play with upgrading weapons versus having just weapons on the map. Is that, you know, with Halo, it's pretty much pure balance as far as that's concerned, as far as weapons are concerned, because anyone can get, you know, the weapons that you need and everything. They're on the map. They're not in your hands. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't start out with an advantage or anything like that. So I guess that's the other side of the coin.
Which is my problem. Like, I like the Call of Duty multiplayer and everything, but, you know, I'm going to say, like, right up front, it's, to me, my opinion, it's not nearly as good as Halo 3 multiplayer. And I know a lot of people like Call of Duty better and everything, but I think that the fact that, you know, it's all about what kind of weapon you have and, you know, not really that much of skill level anymore. If you have a good weapon with a good perk, chances are you're going to take out the guy in front of you faster than he will take out, you know, he'll take you out first. So I, you know, by experience in playing online, it's kind of like you're just thrown out there with guys who have, you know, weapons that are much, much better than yours. And, you know, if you last, 3 to 5 seconds alive, you know, when you come to an encounter like that, you're lucky. So that's my problem with it.
I'd have to disagree with that just because, yeah. Like, when you start off with the M16, and, dude, that you could use, if you never want to update ever again to another weapon, you can use that for the entire time you play online with Call of Duty 4.
Right, so, right. And I've seen people, you know, that are really high ranks using the M16 and I think the M14 or something. But it's kind of like, I don't know. It's all about, like, what perks you have and all that stuff and, you know, what the combinations you use. And, I mean, I did good. I mean, I used my MP5. I still use my MP5, and I don't really, you know, upgrade my weapons. And I do good against those guys. But sometimes, like, in big maps, and the MP5 won't do you that good, or the other weapons you have won't do you that good if they have, you know, better perks and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to stand against those guys. So,
well, I think it also comes down to how you play the game. Like, I mean, when you play Halo 3, it's probably a little more run and gun, maybe, or, you know, because you're pretty sure that the other team or your opponents have similarly balanced weapons or, you know, balanced set of weapons. So, whereas with Call of Duty, you don't know what the other team has at all. They could have anything. So, yeah. Like, to me, I play the game really carefully. Like, you know, like as if one, you know, if I only have one life. And some game types you do only have one life. So, you know, I play the game like in a different way than I would play Halo 3. And I think that's where it doesn't really matter what weapon you have or what upgrades you have. As long as you play smart, you know, then it you know, it takes away some of the advantage. I mean, yeah, you may still get killed more than, you know, you would after you're a level, you know, 40 or something, but, because you've got more access to weapons. But if you play it the right way, I think you can still get by pretty well.
Right, you do get by. But what I'm saying is that, you know, how fair is it? And this is like particularly and, you know, specifically looking into like weapons and things like that. You know, you get thrown, you know, into the same room with guys that are using P90s, and all of a sudden all you have is your, you know, your little MP5 or your little M16 or whatever. You know what I mean? And, I mean, I'm sure you guys have used the P90 before, and you know how far it will go and how fast it will shoot, you know? Even though it's supposed to be a close-range weapon, SMG-type weapon, it still goes pretty far and still shoots very, very accurately. So, you know, what I'm trying to get is, you know, you go in, and then by the time you can fire your first burst out of your M16, you're already dead, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I think that the answer to that is that don't go into that room because you have a you know, you have a weaker weapon. And that's the difference in Call of Duty, is that they have a lot of levels where there's enough variety that you can play that level the way that you want based on your class that you've either created or chosen. So that you, for instance, if you're sniping, you can go up in the, you know, on the second floors and put some, you know, some claymores down behind you and then just stay low and try to, you know, get a few shots off and then, you know, go down and go into another floor or something like that. For, you know, for close range battles, you want to stay in the hallways, you want to stay inside the buildings, wait for someone, you want to stay right around corners, you want to stay in, you know, alleys and stuff like that. So it's like, play the level based on your class. And I think that's where the balance comes into play. You know, you don't necessarily, it's not always an all-purpose thing like Halo, where you can basically change classes on the fly. You know, you can, oh, I'm going to drop this weapon, I'm going to pick that up because it just spawned, kind of thing. Okay, now I'm a heavy weapons guy with rockets.
Right.
You know, so I think it's more deliberate based on your class, kind of thing, on how you play.
No, and it is, and I agree with you. I guess, in my opinion, what I like to see is that, you know, it's all about who, you know, who's more skilled with, you know, with what weapon and so on and so forth. Like, the game starts, we're all leveled, we all got the same weapons. Who's going to control, you know, that area? Who's going to grab that weapon first? And who's going to be able to, you know, keep control of it once they have it? And, you know, so on and so forth. So I guess it's all part of being skilled, you know what I mean, on Halo. And if you talk about, like, you know, if you bring it to a different level, I mean, you look at pros and guys like T-Squared, he's known, you know, for power weapon control and stuff like that. Why? Because once he's got one of those, he will hardly lose it. He keeps control of the, you know, he keeps track of the respawn, he knows how to use them, and so on and so forth. Where, you know, if you bring it to a regular game, people with an SMG can easily take out a rocket guy if he doesn't know how to use the rockets. Versus on Call of Duty 4, you know, you get a P90, and you know, I know you can take out a guy with a P90 if he doesn't know how to use it, but it's just like the weapons are stronger, you know, no matter what you say. So
yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing I like a little bit better in Call of Duty, is all the weapons are sort of the same as far as it, the only difference is how fast the bullets come out and how far they go and how many bullets are in it. I mean, it's just, but as far as in Halo, you've got the Needler, then you got a plasma, then you got a sniper rifle, and they all have different strengths and weaknesses. And in Call of Duty, they all pretty much can kill them as long as you hit them with it, like in one or two shots.
Right.
With Call of Duty, one thing that I noticed that I don't really remember seeing in Halo, in any of the Halo games, is since there are no, you know, weapon spawns, or at least not in the, you know, most of the multiplayer game types, you'll see firefights and, you know, shootouts in, like, the weirdest places on the map. So it's not necessarily even coming down to, you know, tactics involving, you know, controlling an area or controlling, you know, a weapon spawn, but it's just making sure that you're outsmarting the other guy in every sense. And that's kind of what I like about Call of Duty, is that, you get into a firefight, and before you know it, then there's like 10 people around you, and you're like in the very corner of the back of the map somewhere. And
yeah.
It doesn't require everybody to rush to the center, you know?
Right, and I think that brings, you know, it all comes down to like competitive play and
right.
Fun factor and things like that, because, yeah, I agree with you. You go into matchmaking, you know, all of a sudden you're getting into a, you know, into a gunfight, dropping down that little thing on isolation, you know what I mean, where you drop down the little, you know,
right.
Butthole looking thing. So, you know, I mean, I've seen, like, you know, a lot of firefights over there. When on the other hand, if you're playing competitive, you could be stationed on, you know, on the top, you know, in the green room on Guardian, and then all of a sudden you guys are ready to move up to get the sniper, and you got guys like ready and set on a tree and then blue room, and then they're ready to go up there and get the sniper and go back to where they were posted. So it's like that's you know, that's exactly what I'm saying. It all depends, like, the level of you know, the skill you're talking about too. So,
well, I guess it's a different style in some ways, right? You have one where
yeah.
the weapons are a part of the map and play a very important thing in playing the map. and you have another one where they aren't necessarily. It's just what you start with, and if you kill someone, you can take their weapon if you want, but you might kind of mess up your class that was so carefully crafted. So you generally might as well stick with what you have. So
right.
It's just a different style of playing, yeah.
Right.
That's it for part one. Stick around later this week for part two of the Halo 3 versus Call of Duty 4 SmackDown.
There's only one thing left to say. GamerCast.